first.
You're listening
Bournemouth's
to Bournemouth's
internet radio station.
After three. Do, 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 do.
You're listening to Burst, Bournemouth's internet radio station. Burst Live News.
It's 1 o'clock. I'm Marie Horner. 10 MPs have been confirmed as candidates in this afternoon's election for a new Commons Speaker. 7 Conservatives, 2 Labour and 1 Liberal Democrat are in the running to succeed Michael Martin. The bookie's favourite, former Foreign Secretary Margaret Beckett, says she wants to see more power for backbenchers.
Whoever becomes the Speaker will try very hard to reform Parliament. Everybody's agreed that talking to the three party leaders about taking less time and giving more for backbenchers is universally agreed.
Tests are being done to find out how 2 British hostages died in Iraq. Their bodies were handed over to the UK officials in the country on Friday. 3 other Britons who were kidnapped with them 2 years ago are still being held hostage. Hundreds of sacked construction workers have staged a demonstration outside a Lincolnshire oil refinery and burnt their dismissal letters. They've been taking part in a series of wildcat strikes over job losses at the Lindsay refinery. Smokers are being put off quitting because they're so stressed out by the economic downturn. Almost a quarter say they're still lighting up while their jobs are at risk or they're worried about paying bills. In entertainment news, the man who started Glastonbury says he's planning to stand down as the event's organiser in 2011. Michael Ebus, who's now 73, has told The Guardian he's handing over the reins to his daughter, Emily. He started the festival in 1970 when the ticket price was just £1 and came with a free bottle of milk. And in sport, the 123rd Wimbledon Championships are underway. World number 2 Roger Federer gets things going on centre court and 15-year-old British starlet Laura Robson is on court 2 against Daniela Hantsyukova. Andy Murray doesn't play until tomorrow. And in the weather, up in the north, it's looking clear and bright, but quite windy with occasional showers expected tonight. In the Midlands, there'll be patchy showers, but generally quite sunny today. Moving further south, it will feel warmer, but with cloud around this afternoon. That's the latest. I'm Marie Horner.
Are you bothered with jumpitis, jivitis, gingivitis, or arthritis? Well, Jack, try the fastest-selling product on the market today. It's
Burst Live at burst.co.uk.
Yes, indeed, it is Burst Live, second hour of today's show. Welcome along. Thank you very much to our colleagues from The Week in Links. We are now the third ear. Not quite sure how that mutation works, but I'm sure we'll make it work somehow. Myself, Sarah Horsley, Marie Horner, Emma Golby-Kirk and Crystal Chang will be taking you through the next hour here on Burst Live. Now, this afternoon, we'll be looking at what you can see in regards to the latest film releases and also theatre productions. We'll be discovering how I cope without technology for the entire weekend. Well, I've turned up to do the show today, so obviously it's a sign I haven't gone completely mad, but tune in later to find out how exactly I did cope. And we'll also be discussing at what age a child should be given a mobile phone. I want mine back now, but they're not giving it back quite yet. But we'll be debating at what age Emma should be giving her child her first phone, then only to have it taken away for a weekend, I think. Unless you're going to be that mean. We're also going to be doing a little feature called 30 Second Burst because we're not allowed, unfortunately, to play full music tracks here on Burst. It's due to licensing reasons. Don't ask me any more than that because, ask me when you've got some insomnia and then I'll tell you and I'll send you off to sleep. But to get around this, we thought we'd bend the rules slightly and bring you one full track, but 30 second bursts of it so that we could get away with playing the full thing. The track we've chosen for you this afternoon is from the English band The Yeah Yous. It's their debut single and it's called 15 Minutes and it was released on the 15th, the 1st of June even. So sit back and enjoy the first 30 seconds of this. Unfortunately, the Yeah Yous don't want to play. I'll see if I can get them going. No, they don't want to play. That's annoying. So we'll move on from that. And we'll see if we can get them going. No, we'll just try something else. We'll get them. See if we can get them in later. Seeing as it is the first day of Wimbledon today, we thought we'd have a look at the world of tennis with Crystal Chang. That doesn't want to play over.
Put face up, Sarah.
Right, I'm going to be joined for a bit of ad-libbing here by Marie.
Not to worry. Not to worry. It is the first day of Wimbledon, so we've got plenty to talk about. The Pimm's is on and strawberries are out and cream and...
The £5 strawberries and the £6 Pimm's.
Yes, but it's Wimbledon. I realise that it's a lot of money, but it is Wimbledon. However,
it's £35 for a polo shirt.
But I found a good way to get into Wimbledon for a little bit cheaper. This morning, I bumped into a friend of mine outside my flat, and he is going up to Wimbledon today, and he's trying to convince a friend of his to hang around from about 3 o'clock outside Wimbledon, and all the posh tots that don't even mind how much money they've paid for their Pimm's or their £35 polo shirts. When they're leaving, they've got a bit bored of day one, you very kindly beg them to have their ticket, and you can go back in. That's a bit naughty, isn't it? That's but you can do that. Apparently, lots of people do that. And I'm not endorsing it. However, I am saying that is what people do to get into Wimbledon.
I don't think you get away with it.
Having worked there previously,
you won't be able to get away with it. But you can, actually, if you queue up as Joe Public.
Yeah.
If you go to the... They do a resale booth. So if someone leaves and they've had a centre court ticket and they leave at 2 o'clock in the afternoon... If they take their ticket to the resale ticket, you can then buy that ticket for the rest of the afternoon on Centre Court.
And it's a bit cheaper.
It's a bit cheaper and all the money goes to charity.
Oh, okay.
So it's a really, really good thing.
Don't do my scam. That's not going to help anyone but yourself.
No, but no, do a resale and help a charity. And I believe we can now bring you the tennis feature that Crystal put together.
It's so good to get up early and go out to move your body and soul. Today, I walked down with my Turkish friend Begun to the Bournemouth Gardens Tennis Club near the town centre to have a look at her morning practice and to see why this game can always get my friend off the bed in the early morning, even in the bitter cold winter. We arrived at the court at 8 o'clock and the sunshine was spreading gently. During the break, club members shared with me their joy of playing this game.
What do you enjoy most when playing in it?
Social side and competition as well. Just, again, the challenge, the enjoyment of being with similar people.
And being able to do it outside, like badminton, you have to play inside all the time, and squash inside. Tennis, at least, is outside, and
it's much more active, I think. Tennis. Well, I do play golf, and I find golf, you can hit a bad shot and spend the next 10 minutes walking to the next hole or trying to find your ball, regretting it. Tennis, you can do a bad shot, the next second you can do a good shot.
Tennis is really great. We really enjoy it. We spend as much time as possible playing tennis.
It's good for you.
Yeah,
I feel really depressed if I can't get out and play tennis. We really enjoy it.
Oh, no!
We've just played a little game.
I wrote down 4 key factors to win. Body conditions, skills, tactics, and attitude. And I asked the 5 people to put those factors into order of importance.
Basic skills. Physical condition. Attitude. Tactics.
Ooh.
Mine, I don't think you can play tennis until you've got the basic skills. You've got to start at the basic skills. And then after that, the others, then it is strength or attitude. And tactics is the last, I would think tactics is the last.
Well, I think tactics are more important than strength and speed, because you can beat somebody if you're clever in the way that you play.
It's all in your mind, because if you think, oh, I feel tired, you forget about that. If you concentrate on the shot and what you're doing, you won't think about your body. You will just go for the shot, and you may drop down dead afterwards, but you'll try and get that shot. And also, a thing about fitness, you'll find that some of these elderly players, the ones you think you can beat, they have such good tactics that they'll have you running around. It's just they can place the ball where they want to.
The total result turned out to be skill, attitude, body conditions, and tactics. I used to play tennis when I was in university in Beijing. I guess tennis ranks as one of the most popular spectator and participation sports in the world. However, seeing is not playing. After watching them playing, I really want to pick it up again. Like running, sweating, focusing, and above all, I love the sound of the stroke.
And that was produced and presented by Crystal Chang, with special thanks there to Begum. Now, Begum's actually just started a brand new job in a very posh sports club, it's got written here, over in Istanbul in Turkey. Today is her first day there, so we wish her luck and hopefully she'll get the chance to put her feet up and watch Wimbledon. Ah! I'm sorry, I'm completely lost now. We're supposed to have the AUs, but...
We've had a slight technical blip, hitch. Is what we'll call it. But we're fine. We're going to carry on and we're going to go back to the old school. We're using a media player to bail you out everything that we've done. But that's okay. It's fine. It's just Burst Live old school. It's good for us.
Yeah, back in the day before, you know, nice computerised playout systems were invented.
We don't need that. We'll be fine.
You know, any older school, we'd be getting the cart machines out.
Oh, yes, let's get some cassette tapes. Anyone got a boombox? Let's take it back to the 80s. Mobile phone brick. We can go all the way. I like neon colours. We'll be fine.
No, I've seen enough of Ashes to Ashes to realise that the 80s are a place I never want to revisit. Now, sadly, this is the last show on Live Burst for this year.
This is it. Oh. New MARPs, new multimedia production radio people will be taking over next year, and that's it.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, you may be wondering what to fill the void with once we've gone, apart from listening again constantly to the shows on burst.co.uk. So to help you out with that, we sent our film correspondent Emma along to the multiplex, armed with a bumper supply of popcorn, to have a look at the latest film releases.
It's bigger, it's bolder, it's very loud. The much-awaited Transformers Revenge of the Fallen Certificate 12A opened this weekend.
I just had a full-blown mental meltdown in the middle of my class. I'm seeing symbols.
We've kept much from you, Sam.
This isn't my war.
I fear it soon will be.
Sam Witwicky, Shia LaBeouf, is back as he joins the Autobots in a blistering battle against rogue Transformers, the Decepticons. Earth becomes a battleground in this high-octane, adrenaline-fueled spectacular, a treat for all Transformers fans. And if Hollywood bromance is more your scene, check out The Hangover, Certificate 15. 2 days before his wedding, Doug, Justin Bertha, and his three best men head to Vegas for a weekend they'll never forget. But after the first night, they wake up with huge headaches, the hotel room is trashed, and Doug is missing.
I looked everywhere. Nobody's seen Doug.
I don't think I've ever been this hungover.
What's on your arm?
You were in the hospital last night.
The only important thing now is that we find Doug.
Where's your car, officers?
Oh, God.
I think it was just you guys and one other guy.
Was he okay?
He was fine.
Just whacked out of his mind.
Oh, we were messed up.
Is there anything you can tell us about what may have happened last night?
Congratulations, Stu. You got married.
She is wearing my grandmother's Holocaust ring.
I didn't know they give out rings at the Holocaust.
This film is a must-see for any fellas who are getting hitched this summer. It'll definitely give you a few tips on what not to get up to before your big day. Director John Woo heads back east to helm the most expensive Chinese language film in history, Red Cliff, Certificate 15. Set during the rule of the Han Dynasty in 2008 AD, the scale of this epic drama is jaw-dropping, with spectacular battle scenes and beautifully orchestrated carnage. And finally, still topping the charts is Night at the Museum 2, CGI meets MDF in this blockbuster sequel. This time the story is switched to the largest museum complex in the world, the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C., where revived pharaoh Carmen Ra aims to take over the world. If you haven't seen it yet, it's well worth a watch.
Are you bothered with jumpitis, jivitis, gingivitis, or arthritis? Well, Jack, try the fastest-selling product on the market today. It's
Burst Live at burst.co.uk.
Thank you very much, Emma, for reviewing those releases. Now, I understand you've got a little bit more for us on Night at the Museum 2.
Well, yeah, I just want to say I went to see this at the weekend with my 10 and my 7-year-old, and I thought it was brilliant, actually, because I went with quite low expectations because people have been saying it's overhyped, you know, there was no need to make the second one. But no, actually, I thought it was really funny. It was really good.
Have you seen the first one?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, really? Because yeah. That's what most people have said, that compared to the first one, the second one isn't actually that good. But you think it is?
Yeah, I do. I do, actually. There was quite a lot of new characters because obviously, like, the plot moves on and they all end up in the Smithsonian Institute. And old Ben Stiller, Larry Daly, he kind of follows all his waxy friends to the Smithsonian Institute because he has to rescue them. And basically, you end up with like the bad guys and the good guys and Carmen Ra, the pharaoh in the new museum. He gets a load of bad guys together and he wants to take over the world. And you've got characters like Al Capone, Napoleon Bonaparte, Genghis Khan. Actually, I'm not sure about Genghis Khan. I might have made that bit up. Ivan the Terrible.
Someone who's scary with a big axe.
Yeah, he was probably in it, Genghis Khan. And they're kind of up against Teddy Roosevelt, the lovely Amelia Earhart. Actually, who played her was Amy Adams, that's it. She was really, really fab, actually, I have to say. I think she was in that Enchanted.
Oh, yeah. She's actually really good. She's kind of up and coming, isn't she? There's little comedy bits here and there.
Yeah.
And she's doing well.
Yeah. It has been said that she didn't have enough chance to exploit her whole comedic potential, but, you know, she was still pretty good. I would say a highlight was the wobbly-headed Einsteins. They just really made me chuckle.
Sorry, you are going to have to explain more about wobbly-headed Einsteins. You just can't leave that hanging.
Well, the big tablet thing, they need to get the code combination to make the tablet thing work. So they go in search of Einstein to help them get that combination. And, of course, Einstein is actually in the museum store. So they get about 12 wobbly-headed little toy Einsteins and they put their heads together and they come up with the solution that the code is pi or something. Not that that means a lot to me. So, but yeah, they were just really funny, really nice touch. I have to say, I think it was every bit as good as the first film, and I definitely think that the story progressed. And and quite frankly, I'd go and see a third one.
I was going to say, do you think there will be a third? Don't you think there will be a trilogy?
I think it was probably left open for there to be a third because right at the end of the film there's a new character introduced and I won't say too much about that. But yeah, I would definitely say it was a film that wasn't done with itself. Yeah.
Right. But I think they probably left it open to see how much money it make at the box office, then decide to do the third one.
Oh, that's a bit cynical. Come on.
That's so cynical. I have to say, yeah, I think it was brilliant. I think it was great for children, but can I have one moan? Just one moan.
One
little moan. I am always, always shocked when I go to the cinema how much noise people make. It's like they can't say, in all the quiet bits, all you can hear is coughing, bags rattling, hands going into popcorn.
Kissing,
I wouldn't mind. No, loads of people were having fun on the back row. I'd be pleased for them. But, you know, I couldn't believe the behaviour. And it's not the children, it's the adults.
But just why do they sell nachos in the cinema? They're one of the noisiest foodstuffs.
Yep. And paper bags.
You're right. You're so
fizzy
right.
Fizzy drinks is always belching and gross.
Well, I had a belch behind me and a laugh. And I thought, well, okay, fine, if you've got a belch, that's fair enough, that's your human right, but please don't laugh about it.
What was the third film you were talking about? Red Cliff, is that right?
Yeah, Red Cliff.
And Crystal, you've seen this. Didn't you watch it this morning?
Yes.
Oh, what did you think? What did you think about Red Cliff?
It's the story is about a very famous and important war taking place in the Red Cliff. And this war, in Chinese history, it is so important that it means it
determined something?
Yes.
Yeah?
A kind of new era.
Oh, okay.
Before that, yeah. China is united as a whole. And then after that, three kingdoms are...
Established
yeah, yeah. in like a triangle,
right.
and they compete with each other to constrain any one of them to take control.
Oh, so this whole film is based about this really key
yes,
moment in Chinese
yes.
history. Oh, wow, okay.
But, because it's a very serious and tough topic.
Yes.
And then the film director made it so, so light.
Oh, really?
In a very uncomfortable way, if I may say. Perhaps a lot of Westerners likes it because it's, you know, like a fantasy and beautifully made 3D movie animations.
Mm.
But the humours, which Chinese won't buy it, and it's so... there were very witted guy, but they... you know, the character is not successfully built up, so I don't quite like it.
No, it's fair enough.
Okay, if you've got any views on any of the latest releases that you've seen, perhaps it's one that we've not mentioned here, because there's quite a few films released recently, then if you've got any opinions, email us on studio@burst.co.uk and join in the discussion. Now, Emma already alluded to people eating and making noise in the cinema. And also one of the most annoying things that can happen is people not turning their phones off and the phones going off. Now, it is the chance of that actually happening in the cinema are quite high, as there's currently over 50 million mobile phones being used in the UK. Or perhaps that should be 49,999,999, with mine currently being switched off and sat in the corner waiting to be given back to me. But we had a discussion about what age is the best really to give a child their first mobile phone. So Emma went off and did a bit of investigative reporting for us on this.
So I'm walking through the streets of Andover with my lovely 10-year-old daughter Olivia.
Commentating.
I feel like I'm walking towards my impending doom because Olivia has been pestering me for the last 6 months at least for a mobile phone. Now, I'd like to just explain that Olivia is actually 10. That's correct, isn't it, Olivia?
Is that a trick question?
No, that's just a simple question. Tell everybody how old you are, Livy.
11.
Nearly 11.
Never.
So just to get that into context, in 8 years, Olivia will be entitled to the vote, correct?
Yes.
So this means that obviously Olivia needs to do lots of telephoning now, because if she doesn't, well then, she might not be prepared for her adult life, so naturally she needs a phone, so that she's going to be 8 years ahead of herself. Correct, Livy?
Yes.
Okay, so where are you taking me today, Livy?
O2 phone shop.
Okay, and why are we going there?
To buy me a mobile.
Olivia thinks we're going to buy her a mobile, but I'm going to do everything I can to get out of the shop mobile free. So what's important to you in a phone then, Olivia?
Bluetooth, MP3 player, big easy to text with, loads of minutes.
So what are you going to do with it when you get it?
Text, play music, have fun.
Have fun with your phone?
Yeah.
Are you going to have nights in, just you and your phone?
No.
Are you going to play some tunes? I've never seen a phone slide that way before. It looks like a typewriter.
I've seen a phone, Dad's phone, slides like that.
No, it slides lengthways. That slides sideways. It's like a... It's like a fat phone. A phone with a weight problem. So is that phone cool then?
Yes, that phone is cool.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to work out how this one works.
My telephone is ringing, I don't know what to do.
Just press that little button and that will put you through.
Okay then, right, well shall we get off now then?
No.
Oh, can I have a battery?
What do you think the answer to that question is, Olivia?
Yes.
Do I have a BlackBerry?
You used to.
Yeah, I had a BlackBerry for work. I worked. I had a job. Why do you need a BlackBerry?
Parent alert! Parent alert! Parents calling you on your mobile. This is not a drill. Action!
Yay! Made it home and no mobile phone purchase today. 1-0 to me.
Hey, Mum.
Yes, Liv.
I found this wicked phone on the internet. Come see.
Coming.
I think the only thing I can say to that at the end, Emma, is you big meanie.
Why?
I'm going to take my daughter in to the phone shop and try objectively not to buy a phone. How much more torture can you get?
But this is something we regularly do. If you gave in to a 10-year-old when you went into town, you'd be bankrupt if you gave in to their pester power.
Yes, but you don't deliberately take them into the phone shop.
Well, I do. I like to listen to her witter on, and then I kind of enjoy saying to her, well, you know.
With Livy about to go to secondary school.
Yes, she is.
Is she going to get a mobile phone or not? Because most kids will have one, won't they, when they get to secondary school?
Okay, well, if she's listening, close your ears, Livy. Probably, yes.
Oh.
I feel really annoyed about that. I feel as though she thinks she's going to be free. She's going to have this phone. It's going to give her loads of freedom. But actually, I think that that's the start of her life of being connected, wired in. I'm always going to be able to text her, know where she is, be able to check up on her, and she's never going to know that freedom of going down to the local shop on her own, or, you know, going out for a couple of hours and, you know, not being connected into her mum and me not being able to tell where she is all the time. So I'm sort of putting it off for her sake. So I don't think I am a meanie.
Trying to keep her younger for a bit longer.
Yeah, I am trying to keep her younger for a bit longer, but all her friends have got phones. Now, she's the youngest in her year. She's a July birthday, so I'm sort of always a bit behind with the latest developments. But, yeah, I guess I'll have to give in, because how would I live with myself if she was in a situation where she needed me and she couldn't get in touch with me? So I'm going to have to give in, aren't I, and get her one, because I don't want her to be, you know, ever in desperate need of a phone and not have it. So
it can go the other way, can't it? Because you're trying to keep Livy kind of younger and not so connected, but it can get so bad that...
Yeah. You know, there's actually a recognised condition called nomophobia. Have you ever heard of that?
Well, I have, only because you were telling me about it earlier. So, but I'll go with, no, Emma, tell me about that.
Okay, I will tell you about that, Marie. I only told you a bit. I could go on for hours. Right, okay, you asked for it. No, it means no mobile phone phobia. And it's quite a new term that's come out. And basically, it's people who are actually afraid. They actually have the symptoms of stress if they don't have their phone. I'm looking at you, Sarah.
She is looking at me quite intently. And I have to say... Yeah. We'll get onto this in more detail in a few minutes, but having not had my phone for the weekend, I don't feel like I'm stressed.
Just on the edge. You are a bit on the edge. I have seen you sort of doing that texting in the air because your phone's not there. Kind of like a nervous twitch.
Have I been doing that?
Yeah, you have. I thought you had a weird twitch thing, but you don't. I think you're just missing your phone.
And your thumbs have been moving all the time. Your little thumbs have been going. So, you know, there are some signs there.
Yeah, it's doing it now. She's doing it now. Yeah. It's weird. Weird. You will be reunited with your phone not too long, because poor Sarah has been out without any technology for a whole weekend. And it has been a bit of a struggle, hasn't it?
That's putting it lightly.
Tell us how you've been getting on anyway.
Well, they took my phone off me straight away on the air. So that went off. I have no idea what's on there, whether I've got any text messages. I was supposed to get information about a job that I went for the interview on Saturday.
Oh, gosh.
And gave them my mobile number without thinking. They're like, we can't get in contact with you electronically. I was like, well, that's fine. I'm not allowed on the internet. Can we take a contact number? And I just read off my mobile phone without thinking, because it's just second nature nowadays.
Mm. Well, I hope you've got the job, but I am sorry if they've given you a certain time to get back to them and somebody else may now have the job. Don't worry, we'll find you another job.
I have to say another thing, though, Sarah. It was really funny actually taking your landline number and ringing up, and I got Mr. Horsley, didn't I?
That's old school.
Hello, Mr. Horsley. May I speak to Sarah, please? I haven't done that for years and years. You just always ring people on their mobiles. So, yeah, I kind of had a little nostalgia trip when I did that.
And,
yeah, you were having a barbecue, weren't you?
Well, I was doing the washing up from the barbecue, so I was trying to keep you talking longer to try and get out of it.
Oh, I see. But,
yeah, the phone rang and I was just like, that's probably for me. Because if our phone rings in our house, it's either someone trying to sell us double glazing, it's either for my brother, because his mobile phone's probably out of charge, or that's it. There's no other calls. So yeah. I was like, I have given you guys my mobile, my landline, so it's probably for me.
Yeah.
It did turn out to be me, for once.
Was the biggest thing for you, though, not your mobile? What about the internet? Because you're on the internet all the time.
Yes, living without the internet was hard. No Facebook, no Twitter, no email. So planning this show was quite fun without email.
Yeah, we did it the old-fashioned way, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've been emailing everybody else all weekend frantically with bits and pieces. And, we did the whole phone thing, didn't we?
Well, after we've played a student recipe feature, I've got a little mental test for you to do. I just want to make sure that we're not legally in any trouble because we have damaged you long term.
I don't want a test, I want my phone back.
Yeah, we can do that. We can do that too. We can make sure we do that too.
Good. So we're going to play a little recipe now, just to make me hang on a little bit longer from our third ears resident chef.
Recipe 3. The clean breakup. This dish is perfect for special occasions. Birthdays or Christmases are a great time to bring out this recipe. Firstly, take a dependent girlfriend or boyfriend and lightly season with comments about future concerns, such as, I just think we want different things, or the spicier option, I'm just not that physically attracted to you anymore. If you're making them cry, then the result will be too tough to swallow. So just a couple of I don't love you anymores or I want to be on my own for a while is just enough to give the recipe a little bite. Some people have found that alcohol before these steps helps in achieving a quick and easy breakup. But in my experience, a quick whiskey or perhaps some brandy about now provides a welcome break to all the preparation time before the cooking. Once all this groundwork has been done, it's time to finally chop up all the photographs and relationship memorabilia. If you want, you can include some cuddly toys and stuff hearts in the mix, but in my opinion, this is a bit over the top and does complicate the dish. Now, in order to set the breakup properly, you need to ensure you have a blazing row for around 30 to 35 minutes. This will ensure the mixture is well baked and there's no danger of rebounds or drunken phone calls pleading for forgiveness. To ensure a very good cooking, make sure you include some sexual issues in the mix, or perhaps an issue with her or his mum. Allow to cool for at least 2 weeks before venturing out on another relationship, as this dish is very rich and you will remember the bitter taste for a little while. Either way, everyone seems to have been overjoyed when I've served them a clean breakup. None of my exes have even seemed that sad.
And that was written and produced by Marie Horner. Give me my phone back!
Okay, we have let this go on long enough. Sarah, it is time. We're going to give you your phone back and let you look on Facebook and Twitter. And your phone's quite nice, actually. I've quite enjoyed having it. It's made me look a bit more professional this whole weekend. Sometimes I've just walked around holding it to my ear, pretending to be chatting to someone, making sure it's not on.
You know it's not going
to
go off with another call interrupting.
Well, this is it. It's just made me look cool. So there we go. Dun, 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 dun.
Thank you.
Have your mobile phone back.
Thank you. I'm switching it on.
Switch it on. This is actually a bit of a mean test, isn't it? Because we're basically seeing how many friends Sarah's got and they've bothered to text her over the weekend.
This is
not very kind.
I also get to find out if my mum got home safely from...
Oh my gosh, she's not got a job. We put her mum in danger. There's all sorts of things that's gone on. Sarah, this was... We haven't thought of these repercussions. I'm so sorry. Oh, like music to your ears.
So you can tell what type of phone it is from that.
Though all of the phones are also equally as wonderful to use.
Absolutely. No names mentioned.
Nothing's coming through.
Oh, gosh. No, it's a poor signal in the studio, Sarah. It's not your it's not your lack of friends.
Oh my gosh,
she's one of them. She's a 24 ringtone person.
Oh, no, it's quite sad,
isn't it? I never knew that,
Sarah.
I'm not sure if our friendship's going to withhold this show.
You better not be reading this.
I just wanted to send
a third ear team.
Hey.
From Marie.
Well done, Sarah. She didn't crack.
One from one of my friends. If you're around Guildford tomorrow, I'm comparing a festival in Shawford, which is about a 5-minute drive. Should be a fun day. Facebook me for more.
Oh.
Well done,
Anne. Technology has crossed over. I think to make sure that we set this whole thing in context, how hard this has been for Sarah, let's just recap on what she had to do. So rule number one that we set Sarah on Friday was no internet is allowed. Now, this includes any accessing of the web from your mobile. We did allow Sarah to go onto the internet for university work, but that was it. No mobile phone. We told her to get back to the old days of the early 80s. Though, as we've been hearing, Emma's been calling her parents to make sure she's okay. And of course, there are emergency procedures in place, landlines, basically. Watching TV is strictly prohibited. That was hard. Wasn't Top Gear on this weekend?
Yes.
That's the sound of Sarah getting into her Facebook account there.
Sorry, I am kind of doing it like an elephant wearing
clogs. The show's been thrown out the window. She's now all about the technology. No radio whatsoever. Now, that's actually hard. We are radio students. So I'm sorry, we may have jeopardised your masters as well. Rule number five, no MP3 players are permitted. However, to avoid any mental damage, do feel free to use a personal cassette player or Discman.
I own two of those. I own a cassette, a Walkman and a Discman. That's how old school I am.
And you utilise these?
I did utilise them, yes.
Oh, I think I've only got Take That and Spice Girls on cassettes. It's a good thing I wasn't doing this challenge. Rule number six, though emailing is obviously banned, do feel free to use the Royal Mail. Did you send any posts this weekend, Sarah?
No, I didn't.
Oh. Even without the internet, poor Royal Mail. Rule seven, you may only use a computer for university work or playing solitaire. Did you indulge in solitaire at all?
No, because my computer doesn't have solitaire. It has chess.
Oh.
Which I don't know how to play.
Oh. Well, it would have been a good time to learn. Rule eight, to help you avoid a breakdown while going cold turkey, we suggest you buy a few books and magazines.
I did reread a book that I've reread several times.
Oh, okay. So we're good. We've helped you intellectually.
Have you only got one book, Sarah? This is a worry.
I've got a limited supply of books down here at university. Just not to weigh the car down when my parents were bringing me back home, you know, down here.
Okay.
But,
and I would just like to re-emphasise that Burs will not accept any responsibility for the loss of friends or social life that may occur from this experiment. Though you don't have much choice, please sign below if you agree to the above terms, which Sarah did. It's done. You've completed your challenge. The rules are out of the window.
Yay!
How's your Facebook? Have you got anyone interesting?
I've got 11 new notifications. I have to say, most of them, sadly, seem to be people beating my score on Bejeweled Blitz.
Haha, I took advantage, actually, of you being away on Bejeweled. I have been really busy this weekend, enjoying Bejeweled. Now, Sarah, I just wanted to say that, as a friend, I was particularly concerned that perhaps we have mentally damaged you in some way. Certainly your fingers have had a rest. In fact, we probably helped you there. So I have prepared a mental test. I'm going to put on some spectacles, if I had any, and become your psychiatrist. I'd like you to lay back on the imaginary couch. Don't lay anywhere. I need you to press buttons. But I've prepared them. No, looking at the questions, I'm going to assess your mental capacity. Okay?
Yeah.
Are you ready? This is good. This is a professional test, if I was a professional. When you answer a question correctly, you're going to be given a point.
Okay.
The more points you get, the more you've convinced us that you have not been mentally damaged by the technology detox that you've just endured.
Okay. I must admit, I prefer the quiz we did on Friday where
I won a
takeaway.
This is for your own good, Sarah. This is for your own good. I just want to make sure that we've not been too mean. First of all, what day of the week is it?
It's a Monday. That was quite quick for me.
That was quite quick. Noted. Who is the President of the United States of America?
Mr. Barack Obama.
That's interesting. Would you like a glass of water?
Yes, please.
What actor stars in the films Tropic Thunder, Zoolander and There's Something About Mary?
Come on, Sarah.
Ben Stiller?
Yeah.
Paused before reply.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. If you have 10 apples, then give 2 to Jane and Ian gives you 8, but cheekily Sam has eaten 4.5 and then gave another 2 to his dog Pat. If you save 1 for the dinner later on, how many do you have now?
Pass! I don't pass.
I can't do math
anyway, regardless of my mental state.
Okay, a pass on question 5, Nolan. All right, okay. Can you touch your nose with your tongue?
No.
Try.
That was just an excuse to get me to...
Yeah, of course.
It's radio, it's not visual.
Come on, try. Ooh, that's gross. No points there. Oh, dear. I move very slowly, I eat clams and have 5 arms. What am I? Pass, pass, you got it. I'm starfish. What's your favourite colour?
Purple.
Mm, what's wrong? Do you eat fish?
Yes.
Good, you got one. When you think about being without technology again, what sort of emotions come to mind?
Hate, kill, death.
Extreme reaction to... Okay. Sarah, you've scored 5 points. That puts you in the following category. You are what's classified as being happy balance between happy and healthy, but a constant undercurrent of instability is visible, but no harmful in any way, and could perhaps be considered as an attractive charm by equally kooky people. Perhaps buying a self-help book is a good idea. That is my professional... I'm going to sign that. I might even buy you a self-help book.
Okay.
There we go. My mental test is you're normal, basically, so I don't think we've done any damage.
Oh, pretty good. Goodness for that. Yay.
For you. For you.
Do you
feel relieved?
The show now ends because I'm now off to watch everything I missed on the telly on iPlayer.
You're not going anywhere.
I know they're not. They've locked the door. They've locked me in the studio. I think now, because we couldn't play it earlier, we're going to do a music review in a couple of seconds. I think we'll play just one short snippet of the AUs. And if you like the record, you can go out and buy it. Other records are available. Some better, some not so good. But just before the music review, we will bring you the first 30-second burst of the AUs. That was your 30 seconds. I forgot we were only doing 30 seconds of that. Now we're going to do a music review with Crystal, who's going to take us through what she's been listening to classical music-wise recently.
Thank you, Sarah. Okay, welcome to Bert's Live Music Reveal. I'm your host, Crystal. You're now flying with Mozart's No. 6 Piano Concerto, B major, the first movement. Keywords today are classical, piano, prodigy, and Chinese. Yes, we're going to talk about classical music. Why not? I used to ask myself a question. Are classical musicians the lazy ones? They live by playing the greatest work of dead composers and don't need to write new songs to keep audiences' hands waving. Then after joining in several students' orchestras, I realized the charming of classical music is to work with other musicians, to create a sound one can never achieve. And for listeners, a sheer joy to catch the sound. For solo instruments, for example piano, the task is to get different colors out of the same 88 keys. In this piece, I hope you will feel the peace and purity, which I think can only be achieved by Mozart. The music prodigy of all time. I guess some of you may say, hey, this is not classical. Yes and no, it's a mixture of classical and rock when you describe classical in a broader way. It's from a award-winning film, August the Rush, released in 2007. The story is about the music prodigy and often sway of fighting back his parents, a celloist and a rock singer, with the power of music, the power to bring people together. The thing I love most here is the way classical and contemporary pop and rock comes as one. Also, as you can hear, the music comes from many sounds of daily life, sound of the ambulance, city traffic, etc. That reminds me of another movie, Dancer in Dark. The line at the end of the movie is so true. The music is all around us. All you have to do is listen. August Rush, a beautiful music story. That's it. Go on with our journey and our theme prodigy. Recently, Channel 4 has a series on a very special recital. 16-year-old Alexandra Pryor is one of Britain's most talented and prolific young composers. He began composing at the age of 8 and has already written more than 40 works. Now Alex brings together some of the world's most remarkable young musician talent to perform a concerto. In a second program, 16-year-old Alexandra Pryor goes to Shanghai to search of China's most brilliant piano prodigies. In recent years, the Chinese have fallen in love with Western classical music, and with the piano in particular. The country now has 30 million piano students. He then faces the difficult task of deciding which one to choose, really, and breaking the news to all of the children. Now that brings us to the last keyword, Chinese. In recent years, there are more and more world-famous classical musicians from China, among whom celloist Yao Yao Ma and pianist Lan Lan are perhaps most well-known. Here's the clip of Lan Lan playing the Yellow River in the 2008 Olympic opening ceremony. After the clip, we'll bring you more Chinese music. For Lan Lan and other so-called music prodigies, fame and glory they may have and gain, I hope they all can enjoy music above all this. At the end of today's music reveal, we'll leave you with a Chinese classical music piece called Guanglin San, played on Gu Qin. The song also appears in Radcliffe, the movie Emma talked about earlier. I'm sure you'll find it very different and special. This is Crystal, and thanks for listening. Here it is.
Take your laptop into the toilet. Burst your imagination, not your bladder.
That was absolutely beautiful classical music there. I think classical music relaxes you more than any other sort of music. Even the chill out albums you can get that you're supposed to, you know, there's chill out music from Ibiza when you've, you know, left the bar at 2 a.m. and are watching the sunrise. I think classical music is still more relaxing than that ever could be. Now we're going to go over to Marie for what's going up on and around in the theatre.
Well, yeah, we're going to keep it very cultured here on Third Ear, and this is the Theatre Review with me. Yes, I've got three theatre productions I would like to bring you today. Now, I've done my very best to try and appeal to everybody's taste. There is a massive mix of theatre productions, of course, around, so it wasn't particularly hard to do. The first that I'm going to be looking at is Jeff Wayne's musical production of War of the Worlds. This is showing at the BIC in Bournemouth at the moment.
No one would have believed in the last years of the 19th century that human affairs were being watched from the timeless worlds of space. No one could have dreamed we were being scrutinized as someone with a microscope studies creatures that swarm and multiply in a drop of water. Few men even considered the possibility of life on other planets. And yet, across the gulf of space, minds immeasurably superior to ours regarded this Earth with envious eyes. And slowly and surely, they drew their plans against us.
Now that's a clip from the opening of the production. It's been touring all around the world and is very well known. It's now back at the BIC after being very, very popular last time. Now, I really struggle with this production because I'm not a massive sci-fi fan in any way. In fact, it was only the other day that I actually learnt what a Klingon was. I was quite impressed with myself. It means you've got a bobbly head and are a bit cross all the time. Now, because H.G. Wells' book is so iconic and the Black Smoke Orchestra is so well known, I was more inclined to see this production. It carries a lot of weight. And I haven't seen the film version of of War of the Worlds. Tom Cruise makes me anxious. He's small and a little bit squeaky. But I couldn't recommend it enough. And the music, as we can hear now, is obviously breathtaking and it's iconic in its own right. And it's just instantly recognisable. Now, for those with a classical persuasion, it's a must-see as well. But for those who do like a bit more action in their theatre productions, in the opening, you've got a 35-foot Martian fighting machine. And I was sitting there thinking, How is this happening in the BIC in the middle of Bournemouth? And he shot a heat ray at me. And it was weird. It's a really weird sensation. It was a bit scary, but brilliant. And then you get this 100-foot wide screen with brilliant animation. It was really, actually very good. And an 11-foot high Richard Burton hologram, which again, weird but brilliant. And it stars Justin Hayward, Shannon Knoll, and perhaps more well-known to us younger generation, Jennifer Ellison. It's just a bit crazy. It's a perfect example of old and or classic, which kind of meets new and shiny, which I think H.G. Wells was really going for in his book. It's worth seeing, especially if you are a fan of the book and were disappointed with the Hollywood film. I know lots of people were. And absolutely worth watching while you're in Bournemouth, as it is internationally well known. I think it's great that it's in our town. But it really is for people who appreciate the book, sci-fi, classical music, or you like massive CGI and holograms and heat ray laser beams. And if you fancy it, you can buy tickets at BIC. .co.uk.
Okay, so maybe sci-fi isn't your thing. What else is out there?
Well, I'm going to suggest another theatre trip that you may think, no, it's really not my thing. But just like Jeff Wayne's War of the Worlds, it's a great piece to start if you don't think that you like classical music. Over at the Lighthouse in Poole, just down the road, all this week, there's Images of Dance 2009. So there's different shows where young performers show different dance disciplines. You've got street dance to jazz. And tonight at the Lighthouse, they're billing it as a banquet of ballet for all the family. Now, it's choreographed by former Royal Ballet Principal Margaret Barberi. It's a massive mix of different ballet disciplines and it includes the famous Moonlight Beauty of Tchaikovsky's Swan Lake Act 2, as you can hear. Kind of makes you want to prance about. It's a good thing I'm not actually going to be prancing about for you. There are a few new ballets as well from former ballet dancer Stephen Sheriff and Isara Makuli. But to make sure it's not just appealing to the older audience and because the performers themselves are younger, there's also a performance entitled Mad About the Boy. It actually takes popular hits from the 50s and 60s and it tells them in a fairy tale about these 12 dancing princesses. It's set in a finishing school where the reluctant debutantes are more interested in boyfriends and dance classes than they are in manners and etiquette. Kind of a ballet version of that Ladette to Lady, but has a bit of class. This new ballet provides a modern contrast to the classic Swan Lake, and it's raw, which is what I really liked about it. It's raw, modern ballet, and well worth seeing if you think that ballet is just not my thing. It's a classical style, and I'm not interested. This is an excellent, accessible piece of theatre. The only type of person I wouldn't recommend it to is someone who hates dance full stop. Then I wouldn't recommend many things at the Lighthouse, to be honest. But as I say, there are a number of other dance performances at the Lighthouse as well. We've got street dancing, which is just wicked to watch. But I found out a way. The other day I was on the beach and someone was actually trying to teach me to street dance and I hurt myself. But the beach is apparently the best place to learn because of the sand. Because when you fall, it doesn't hurt so badly. It's good fun.
Okay, so apart from the dancing at the Lighthouse and possibly even going and doing a bit of learning to dance down on Bournemouth Beach.
I'm not going to Portsmouth Beach. That would hurt like
it
hell.
It would.
We've shingle.
Only, yeah, we've got pebbles on that. Down on Bournemouth Beach, what else is going on at the moment? Is there anything up in London that's particularly eye-catching?
Well, funny you should say that, Sarah. In fact, there is. One of my favourite theatrical venues ever is the Globe on London's South Bank. Now, you just feel like you're stepping back into Shakespearean times, and I absolutely love it. If you're prepared to stand, the tickets can be as cheap as £5, and it really is a worthwhile night out. And, of course, you're nearby all the bars, and the Tate Modern and Borough Market, and I just love wandering along there. And at the moment, Shakespeare's comedy As You Like It is on stage at the Globe. The basic plot, if you don't know, is based around Rosalind. Now, she's the daughter of a banished duke who falls in love with Orlando at a wrestling match. Her usurping uncle is jealous of her popularity and banishes her from court. Now, she's disguised as a boy as she leaves. I'm not gonna ruin it too much, but she disguises herself as a boy, which was quite common in Shakespearean times for men to play ladies. And when a really old production of this, there was a man playing a lady trying to be a man. It was a circle of confusement. Disguised as a boy, she leaves her cousin Celia and the jester Touchstone at a fantastic performance in this this adaptation of As You Like It, and to try and seek out her father in the Forest of Arden, where she meets Orlando again and tries to convince him all about wooing and about love under the guise of this young man. And it's really, really good. I was going to read you an extract of the monologue that she said. And it's read by another character, but it's all about the world being a stage and the lady and gentleman are merely players, which is very famous and most people know about. Now, of course, there are hundreds of different productions of many of Shakespearean plays. And in my opinion, this production of As You Like It isn't particularly special. The acting is of a good standard and the set and costumes are simple, but again, good. And I think this makes this a really contagious production, but it needs more energy. It's like someone needs to just come and kick it up the bottom a bit. And if you haven't seen As You Like It before, this is an excellent place to start because it is uncomplicated and it is easy to understand in terms of a set, but it just isn't spellbounding at all. But coming up at the Globe this season that I think is, Romeo and Juliet is playing until August, and Love's Labour's Lost, which starts at the end of September as well. But if you do fancy going to As You Like It at the Globe Theatre, you can find out more details at shakespearesglobe.org.
Thank you very much for the theatre reviews. We're just about coming up to the end of the show now, in which we've reunited me with technology, thankfully. Discovered that Emma is a very big meanie when it comes to taking her daughter out deliberately not to buy her a mobile phone and running through a mobile phone shop with her. And we've also reviewed the week's latest film reviews and also theatre and classical music. You can listen again to any of the shows at burst.co.uk. So until next year, when Burst Live is back.
Say goodbye, Bursties!
We'll get up the whole combo and say goodbye.